Appreciate that, Mark, but I usually come up here. I would like to say I really appreciate Chris's class. He's very organized and well put together, and I really enjoy that. Did a great job. I was thinking about, no, not a conversation I had at work the other day, but just a conversation I had with a member of the church a bit ago, and it got me to thinking about maybe a lesson. So tonight, this lesson is not going to be about any other group except the group that's inside these walls tonight. The title tonight is called Habitual Sin. In other words, not the prayer that we sometimes say when we say, Lord, forgive us of those sins that we sin against you that we're not aware of. Now, I'm talking about the sins that we just cannot seem to shake. We try. Maybe some of us don't try. But it's the sins that we have a problem with that we seem to just keep repeating. And by the time I'm done tonight, I know that I will hit probably a good portion of the audience, including myself. But hopefully we can come up with a solution that can better help us fight against these things. This is the beginning of a new year. Everybody makes the resolutions and things, so maybe this will be one. I'm just going to name a few. I'm sure when I name these things that you can add to this, you probably keep right on and on, but number one thing, pornography. Did you know that 70% of Christian males admit that they look at explicit material on a regular basis? And that's just people that admit it. 50% of pastors admit that they look at explicit material on a regular basis. So I'm including the denominational world here. But many church leaders feel that this is the number one thing that is plaguing the church today. But because of its embarrassing nature, we don't talk about it. I know even when I hate saying the word because I feel like people are going to like look down. You know, it's embarrassing to talk about. But it's probably the number one thing facing the church today. It's just, we don't talk about it. Number two, bad language. Whether it's curse words, dirty jokes, etc., not being able to control our temper, it's all basically sins dealing with the tongue. And I know that some Christians will debate, and I'm talking about Christians within the church, will debate what words are bad, what words are not so bad, and this you know, and you could go on and on with that, and I don't have a list of exactly what's right or wrong in that area, but I do know this. I do know that the world watches what you say, and the world watches what you listen into and laugh at as far as jokes are concerned or inappropriate things. So just be aware of that. Modesty. This seems to go out the window sometimes when we are at the beach, when we're at the pool, when we're on our mower riding around in the front yard with our shirts off, when we're at the gym. Just remember again, the world is watching and it's not appropriate. Lying. Lying can come in many different forms. It can be the omission of information. If some of you work out there, you know that sometimes it's not easy being totally honest 100% of the time. Watching TV shows, movies, the internet, with bad language or nudity. I've had quite a few Christians say, hey, did you watch such and such movie? And I'm like thinking, man, I'm not sure you should be watching that. You know? And I think that we have gotten accustomed to, well, it's okay to watch as long as you don't repeat it. But that's, you know, as they always say, garbage in, garbage out. And we don't need to watch it, and especially don't need to repeat it. Even listening to music. And anybody knows me knows I love music, but you have to let some of it go. You have to let some of it go. Gossiping. I'm not just talking about women. I heard something the other day that I was just dying to tell somebody else because it was some juicy gossip. But so far, except for my wife, I admit that. I've kept it to myself. But when you hear interesting stuff on somebody you know, even somebody you don't know, you just want to tell it to somebody. It's just human nature. And we know that this list could go on and on and on, but let's see what we can do to improve on these things. And maybe some people out there, that you know, you've not been hit by some of the things I've mentioned, but I know human nature pretty good. I think a portion of us has been hit at times with some stuff I've mentioned. I think the first thing is to admit that we have a problem, whatever it may be. Let's read 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. And I have met people that say they don't have problems sinning. And that's good for them. So most importantly is to realize, of course, again, that we have the problem. And second most important thing that some people don't realize is that there are negative consequences for our actions. We may think we keep it hid from other members, our family. Of course, we know that God knows what we're doing. Let's read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. Says, for if we go on sinning after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. I think this verse really is to make you wake up to the danger of being lost, but not to tell you that your situation is hopeless. Since we just can't seem to stop, are difficult to overcome, but not... Sins. We just can't seem to stop. Are difficult to overcome, but not impossible. And that's why, you know, again, some religions out there, they offer you enticing things. They say, there's so many sins. Who can stop? Why try? Just God loves you. He knows your heart. So... don't be so concerned about these carnal sins. But we know that's not the truth. Let's read Proverbs 24 and verse 16. It says, for the righteous falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity. And I'm going to go off script there for just a second. I've seen people and I think to myself, they really shouldn't be doing that. They go to church with me, or they used to go to church with me. And then I look at my own self and I'm like, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. So I try to have a little bit of open-mindedness in there, a little leeway, a little grace. And I think we all need to do that. So anyway, it helps to have people in your life to help you. As we know the verse, therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Sometimes we don't use that enough. Just a good prayer by someone who is a righteous person. In other words, talk to others about your weakness. Ask them to pray for you. Another thing that we can do is to change the habits that facilitate the sin that we may have a problem with. We have to have the attitude sort of like of Joseph had dealing with Potiphar's wife. We know in Genesis 39 and verse 15, it states, "And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." And of course, this was Potiphar's wife talking, you know, by the way. We know this whole story very well. In other words, we must simply make every effort we can to run from the things that tempt us versus trying to see how close we can get to it. I always joke about the cell phone at work being the mark of the beast. You know, everybody at work has their idea of what the mark of the beast is. So I always say it's a cell phone because, you know, you have so many sins that you can do with this phone, whether it be Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, just internet in general. So if this is causing a lot of sin in our life, we may have to remove the internet. In fact, Jesus tells us, to give you an idea, we think that, oh my goodness, I'd have to remove the internet from my phone. But in fact, Jesus tells us to cut off our hand or pluck out our eye if they offend us in Matthew chapter 5, 29 verses 29 through 30. So in other words, remove the things from our lives that tempt us to sin, that has become habitual. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." So to kind of put the icing on the cake here, I found these goals for changing a sinful habit. Avoid what triggers it. I know that seems very sensible, but if you got somebody at work that's always telling inappropriate stuff and you're listening in and kind of giggling, guess what? They're going to come back to you again. Or if you've got an anger problem that you just can't seem to shake, and there's certain things that cause that, certain triggers, try to stay away from it. Or count to five before you say something. Or even with your phone, if you're looking at stuff on your phone you shouldn't, get somebody to set a password. I know that I've never mentioned, as you can see, my daughters don't come to church, but I'm proud of them in different ways. I got one daughter that she's the mom of the granddaughter that comes with me occasionally. She had a problem with drugs a few years ago. And so what she did, she actually packed up and she moved to Somerset. And her reasoning was the temptations here were so great, her friends that were causing her to do these things. She packed up, moved, got an apartment, got a different job, stayed a couple years. So I am proud of her. So if she can do that, surely we can shake some of the habits we have. Start small. Start a week at a time. Say, I'm not going to blow my fuse for a week. If you make it a week, go for 2 weeks. If you have a problem with lying, I'm going to go a week. 2 weeks. If you fail, start back at that day one. But don't give up and don't just be blasé about it. God knows what you're doing. Have a friend to talk to. That's why we have AA. Research shows this support helps people break habits. Share your intentions with someone. If you keep it to yourself, you're likely to give up on yourself. Reward yourself. Positive reinforcement always helps. And I know these things, whatever. I feel like most people have something that keeps gnawing at them from time to time. So it's definitely easier said than done. So let's all go home tonight, think about what bothers us the most, and see if we can shake this. Let's read Ephesians 4:22 through 24 in closing. It says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So if there is anyone here tonight who needs to know the steps of being a Christian, such as believing, hearing the word, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus is our Savior, and being baptized, or if there's someone here that feels like they're kind of erring child of God and they want the prayers of the church, please come forward as together we stand and we sing.